Before we begin, or as we begin, I just want to pay just a moment's notice, tribute to all those who have fallen, who didn't come home. I was sharing a few moments ago that on this day, and Veterans Day, my dad, he didn't even want us to talk about it. We really couldn't even celebrate days like this. And I say celebrate. He said, I lost every friend I had over there. And he was in the Battle of Bulge. And he ended up with the 101st Airborne attached to them somewhere or another and fought their way through all that mess at Bastogne. And he just wouldn't let us go there. It's like, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to talk about it. And I understand, I didn't growing up. I couldn't understand. You won't understand until you're in it. You've been there, done some of that, but just, you wear the uniform a while, then you begin to, then you see people that don't come back and go on missions and do stuff, but begin to understand more about his feelings. And he wouldn't talk much about what he did, but every now and then. And I was thinking of him on this day, and I thought, Dad never got over it. And we lived way out there, and not too far from Wichita Falls. Lots of tornadoes, lots of bad storms. But Dad, when the thunder, the lightning flashing in the sky, then that thunder, I didn't understand. And I've shared this, I think, a year or two ago, but I didn't understand him, and he'd get so nervous, and he couldn't sleep, and we had a cellar. He grabbed my sister and I, just two of us, and he'd take us, we'd have to go to the cellar, even though it wasn't close, and it wasn't a tornado, but the lightning and the boom. Didn't realize till many, many years later, Dad was going back, and that was reminding him of the artillery and the tanks. He told me how the German tanks just broke through. And they were just light infantry, and they were running for their lives. They had nothing to hit the tanks with. And so all they could do was try to run and shoot at German infantry, but they were mechanized infantry, you know, with the tanks. And so anyway, I began to understand when it was a little too late before he died what was wrong with him. He couldn't overcome that. He just was there. Today they'd said your dad has PTSD, but they didn't know much about it back then, and I didn't hear those terms. And some of you have known people, had people in your family, and you may be yourself having been through some of this, a lot of this. It just, some of it won't go away. So I just want to acknowledge that, and all of my friends, my officer friends that I graduated with, and I'm bitching this, but I do think about them. They're all gone, and they've all killed or died from things they're exposed to in one way or another, and they're gone. And I miss all those. Wish once in a while we could get together and share some stories, and it's not going to happen because my class is all of them gone. And so we all feel those losses, and we know one way or another what it's like. But I just wanted to share for a moment and say, let's, if you would, just kind of bow our heads. And this is a piece of a poem that I would just a piece of it, would just like to offer in tribute to all of us that have known those and had loved ones and all those who've fallen. So let's just for a moment. And I just want to say these few words. We seldom know the cause of war, or how the heroes die. We seldom know the reasons that attempt to answer why. We always hear the age-old tales of the ones that come back home. But we seldom hear how the brave ones fell in a battlefield all alone. And so to these we thank God and give the honor that's due, and the tribute to those who bravely stood and bravely fell, that we may have what we have today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a message titled The Way It Works. And we're coming out of Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Christ, by Him, all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible. Catch this. Catch it. Really listen to this. It will explain some things to you. This is hard for many Christians to grasp. But hear it for what it says. I don't have a bunch of Greek words to give you a different play on it, because it's very accurate in what it says. And it's very precise in the translations. It says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. So when you see Him, you see God. The firstborn over all creation. Okay, we can handle that. Get this next part. For by Him, by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. Now, grab it. Just listen to what it says. This will answer a lot of questions for a lot of people. It says, by Him all things are created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Christ and for Christ. Did you hear this? There's another world that you can't see. Look at it. I'm not writing in here. Just take it for what it is. He created the things that are visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. So maybe this will answer. If you hear it for what God is saying, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I've had people say to me, Tony, and ask me, is there another dimension? Is there this or that? Are there aliens? And if you want to know the truth, if you want to put it that way, I'll answer anybody, yes, there's aliens. What kind of aliens? There are powers and principalities, and they're alien to us. They're in another dimension, because it says that. And the powers and principalities, and He created things visible and invisible. Of course, that's angels. But this, that's why you feel this demonic influence, and you see what's happening from this other dimension. The devil, where's the devil? Do you see him? You see his works. You feel the presence of evil. I'm not trying to drum up something. Just know we battle against things we can't see, but they're very real. Everybody with me? So we're in spiritual warfare. And you say, we draw on this day. We're in battle. We're fighting all the time, and you don't get much relaxation. There's not much R&R, rest and relaxation here. You don't get much chance to back off from it. The devil's after us all the time through one of his demonic servants or through a demonic person. My goodness, everywhere we turn, we're getting this just poured at us from every political dimension and evil judges and a media that's all tied up into demonic things. And it's horrible. And friends, you're going to have to pay attention and don't let it wipe you out and get you all, strung out. This is where there is invisible things, and there's powers and principality. There's thrones we don't know about. And you don't have to get all caught up in it and get worried about it. Because Jesus defeated these. He really gave them a licking. I was watching a movie the other night. And it's Midway. Anybody seen Midway? And that they were around the table and concerned about, at that time the Japanese being so powerful and everything. And this one lieutenant slaps the table, bam, got their attention. Everybody, nobody wanted to eat or anything. And he said, "We're going to give them a shellacking." That's exactly what Jesus did to the devil and all these his demonic powers. When the devil had him on the cross, and Jesus walked out of that tomb, and he couldn't keep him down. And it says he stripped them naked. He took them out. Let me finish reading this. All things were created through Christ and for Christ. And Christ is before all things. And in Christ, all things consist. Christ is the head of the body. Oh, that's a grabber. Christ is the head of the body. I got some news for some TV boys out there. Christ is the head of the body, not you. You think you're the big man? There is no big man in the kingdom of God. There's only one big God. Now, there's a lot of big shots, but they're just little shots that grew up. That's all they are. And everybody, you know, and people just adore these big name people. Why? The name above all names is the name of Jesus. Wouldn't it be neat to see people gasping that Jesus is coming to town? Oh, turn the TV on so we can hear Jesus instead of whoever. Because all things, he's before all things, and in him all things consist, and Christ is the head of the body, the church. You're the church. Your body is the temple of the living God. The church meets here, but you're the church, and he's your head. And nobody else is in control. I'm not in control. I'll tell any pastor in the world, if you think you're in control, that's an illusion. You don't control people. You know what you do? You know what my job is here? I'm here to influence you, not control you. My job, my calling is to be your coach and your teacher, but I'm an influencer. God's called me. That's what pastors are supposed to do. Anybody that brings the word, we're here to, yes, preach and teach, but what we do most of all, influence. Influence you, encourage you. I want to influence you to follow Christ. Give your heart to him. Let him live in your body. Give it all to him. Surrender to him. That song up there, I mean, surrender all. We are all influencers. We're all here to influence other people to believe in Jesus and then follow him. And there's powers and principalities that are trying to distract you from that. That's why the weird things happen. You don't understand. You ever have stuff in your house just weird? Anybody have weird homes? You ever put something down and you go back to get it? I mean, there's just weird stuff that happens. And you say, "I know I put that there." You know, and then just think, is there something, you ever wondered, is there something weird in this place and it just picks up stuff and moves it? Well, you know, there may or may not be. Depends on how much harassment you need from the enemy. I'm serious. I'm not saying everybody has these gremlins in their home, but there's just weird things. I put stuff down and go do something, come back, and where is that? And you're looking everywhere. And guess what the enemy uses it to do? You start out okay. Oh, I know it was right there. It fell and it's not there. And before you know it, what are you doing? You're throwing a fit. Oh, I see. There's a lot of people looking at other people, isn't it? And you're just having a spell, we used to call it. And, oh, man, you know, somebody picked that up. Then you turn to the only other person in the house. Where'd you put that? Because I put it right there. Does any of this sound familiar? And we forget that. Do you ever think the enemy's messing with you? How many in here ever think the enemy is messing with you? Okay. It probably is. Weird things happen. Yes. And he lies to you. And he wants to tell you all the time. That's these powers and principalities. And it says, Jesus is the head of the body, the church, which you are. He was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Please read the rest of this. Read this whole chapter. This is powerful stuff. I'm using this to be able to bring this message from it and for sake of time. But read all of it. Read the rest. But just know this morning that when weird things happen to you, they're happening to others. I live out there and by myself, right? And I put stuff down. What's going to move it? And I come back in, it's not there. That's just weird. And you look all over the place for it. Now, I'm not talking about the times that I've looked all over the place for my goggles. I wear goggles outside and to keep something from, you know, hitting me in the eye or whatever. I'm not talking about those times they're up on my head and I couldn't find them. I'm talking about when they're really not there. You know, and we've done that, right? You're looking for your, ever been looking for your cell phone and you have it in your hand the whole time? And you're looking all over for it. Where's my cell phone? What happened to it? And you're holding it. Now that's not the devil. That means you're just skipping a cell or two up here and it's just going to get happen. I can't explain that. We've all done those kind of things. Have you looked all over the place for your phone and you had it in your hand? Yeah. And you just wonder, what? That's not the enemy, friends. That's just our poor being. But then there's other things. Just face it. This is not a message built on the bad things out there. It's to say stuff will happen. And there's things that you can't explain. Because look at it. We're things visible, invisible, and their thrones, dominions, principalities, power. There's stuff out there we don't understand. We just feel the effects of it. But you have the authority in Jesus' name to overcome it, to rebuke it. This is the way it works. And we need an understanding that there's weird stuff out there. There's another dimension. We don't even know about it. Where's heaven? It's another dimension. We can't see it. We look up. We're always looking up because there's something about up. God's up. And when we're talking about Jesus came down from heaven, he ascended. Where is it? It's another dimension. You know, all these naysayers and scientists, all they say, we've been in all over space and we look at the Hubble telescope and all this. We don't see heaven. Well, no. Of course you don't. It's another dimension. If it was visible to be seen, that means it's material. And that means it can perish. I want something that's imperishable, don't you? And that's what heaven is. But you're definitely going to enter it. And it's going to be there. And you're going to be with all the other people looking at all these morons running around saying, there's no heaven. There couldn't be heaven. We'd find it. Oh, really? Most of you guys are still living on theories you can't prove. Right? We're still teaching Darwin as if that's an established fact. We've never proven it. The evolution of the species. You know, we developed from monkeys. Now, watching human behavior today and those in high office, I'm more inclined to think that, but the Bible tells us that did not happen. And you know, they've never proven, they can't, they're always the missing, you ever notice with science, there's always the missing link? When it comes to God anyway, you know, there's the missing link. We're still good, we're going to find it any day. Yeah. Keep looking. Yeah. Let me add this verse to what we just read. It's Romans 8. You know it. We know that all things work together for good. It's Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to God's purpose. You know what the rest of that says? God foreknew, who he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We too often quote the first part of this passage and forget the next verses. God does cause everything to work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Everybody good with that? Do you believe this? That's what he says. However, continue. He uses it to work to your good so that what? He predestined you to be conformed to the image of his Son He is working it to your good to conform you to the image of his son Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And it says, moreover, whom God predestined, whom he set aside and put out there, to, he called you and he justified you, means he forgave you your sins and cleansed you, justified, just as if I'd never sinned before God. And these he also glorified. You're saying, what is it saying? God causes all things to work together for your good because you love God, so that you can be conformed to the image of his son. He predestined you to do this. He justified you to receive this. And you glorified you, meaning you have an eternal spirit. You're going to be in his glory. You're going to have a glorified body. But the whole purpose, the whole point is, he owns us. And everything working for our good doesn't mean it's just for me. It's to make me more like him. Okay? That's the good. I become more like Christ because I was predestined and called to be like Christ and to go up with him and have a glorified body that nothing on this earth can touch. Isn't that great? No more ailments. No more surgeries. No more bone problems. No more bad cells. Nothing. And I know for a lot of us, we're looking forward to that, right? No more of this stuff. So let me go into the crux of this, because it's like this. This is the way it works. God causes everything to work for your good, but not just for you, but to fulfill his will and to make you like his son Jesus. Okay, we get that. So let's look at this first point. We don't control. We don't have control. Look at this third point. And we'll get the first point here when it comes up. We're not in control of this thing. We don't control anything. Jesus does. So everybody take that down. For all of you that have this obsessive, compulsive disorder, and you just have to control or you don't feel right, now is the time to realize that we are not in control. You never will be. It's really a fantasy. I could say to some of those in power right now, you think you're in control and it's a fantasy. You're not really. Because the tighter, listen to me, husbands and wives, listen to this. The tighter you squeeze somebody trying to control them, the quicker they slip right out between your fingers. You're going to lose if you keep trying to control them. Let God have control of the situation. You know, I tell people, sometimes a wife will come to me, or a husband, and say, they're just doing this, and they're acting this way, and it's like, and I'm doing this, and I can't stop them, and we're fighting all the time. It's like, why are you doing it? Well, what do you mean? Give them to God. And you tell the person, I've turned you over to the Lord, and I'm praying every day for God to get you. I've seen a lot of things happen in that situation. I'm not going to mess with you anymore. You're not going to have me harping on you. I just want you to know, though, every day of my life, maybe morning, noon, and night, I'm going to turn you over to God and say, get him. Really? Seriously, let God have control. Let him. You know, you don't listen to me, you'll listen to him one way or another. I've told many wives, you have more power than you think. You can't control him. Tell him you've turned him over to God. I'm going to pray God everywhere you go today. And you think you're sneaking around, you're doing whatever. God's watching you, and I'm going to ask God to get you. Anything you do wrong, I'm asking God to just open up the door and let everybody see you. Wow. You say, whoa, Tony, don't tell him that. We're not in control. It's a fantasy. And yes, listen to me. Listen to this. You can control people with weapons, with force, with intimidation for a while. But sooner or later, you're going to end up with nothing. And it'll go back on your own head. because you're going to lose everybody. When we attempt to control, you know what we're really doing? We're pushing people away. We're turning them against us. We think we're in control. We never are. How many of you try to control God? You try to control God? You try to manipulate the Lord? Well, Lord, you said, and I'm in this, and I'm going to, and it's, and if you don't do this, I'm just going to hurt myself. You ever been able to intimidate God? We just intimidate His people. This message is meant to set us free and to bring the whole concept that you belong to Jesus. Why are you trying to control what He's got the right to control? Why do you keep hurting yourself? Why do you keep doing things to yourself? Why do you keep turning to someone else or something else to relieve your pain when Jesus Christ owns you and He can fix you? Why are you letting other people intimidate you and control you? This is in no way saying there should be rebellion in the home. It's not about that. It's saying we let certain people, certain family members. How many of you know people in families and that one person just dominates that whole family? Just runs over them. When are you going to give God control? When are you going to say to them, you may not like me anymore after this, but I want you to know that when we meet, and today or whatever we're meeting or maybe tomorrow, you've got to have the courage to stand up in the name of the Lord and with love say, we're going to do this. And you're welcome to, you know, and to do this. But if you don't, you know where the door is. But God's in control here. And you're just not, nobody has the right to run this family except Christ. Is everybody okay with this? Okay, you're not okay. But you hear this? Do you hear the truth in it? Listen, don't become somebody's slave. I know some families, and it just, wow. And it's like one person just dominates everything. It can be a daughter. It can be a son. It can be a relative. A husband or wife. And they come in, and they just, boy, they're going to have their way. And it's like, this is defying everything God set up in His Word. Okay, Jesus said, without me in John 15, you can do nothing. You can make people perform. You can make them perform, but their hearts are far from you. Listen, I was watching Band of Brothers. Anybody seen that? I was re-watching that. I watched that and saying, yeah, there's my boys. They jump out, they show them a picture of them going out of that plane. It brings all those memories back to me. You know, outboard side, outboard personnel, stand up. Inboard personnel, stand up. Hook up, sound off for equipment check. All that was going through my head. How many times have I done that? You know, back 20 okay, 19 okay, 1 okay, all okay. Stand in the door. And then you hear that, go. And once in a while, I know I'm too old for it, but I still just want that. Tell John, her husband, 173rd. Just something about still wanting to feel the knees to the breeze. And I could do that. It's when the knees hit the ground that I'm worried about. They've told me, this is why this is knocked out. How many times you have to slam in the ground till you think things might get disorganized in your body? You know, especially the brain. In their basic training, if you saw this, if you haven't seen Band of Brothers, you really need to see it. Because it's really based on the real deal. But they had a captain, Captain Sobel. That was the most sadistic captain, sadistic man. He just loved seeing people hurt. And that was in airborne training. And he just enjoyed really punishing people. And they were so glad. They hated his guts. He maintained absolute control because he outranked them. He was their commanding officer of Easy Company in airborne school. But that, it hit me. And how many people are just like that captain? In their homes, in their work, in church? They're Captain Sobels. They have no regard for feelings. They don't care about anything except exercising absolute control, and they'll do anything to get it. Just unmerciful things to say, I'm the man. Friends, you've got to have to learn to stand up to people like that. And if you see yourself ever leaning in that direction, give it to Christ and stop it. Because Captain Sobel was hated by every man in that company. And they wanted something bad to happen to him. And let me ask you this. As a parent, as a child that's rebellious, whatever situation you're in, is that what you want? You want control to the point that you're willing to endure the hate of every person around you? Because they will hate you when you treat them dirty. Now, this has hit me hard. This message isn't intended to be nasty, dirty, but it's just to make us think and to say, man, you can make people perform, but their hearts will turn away from you and they'll be praying for you to get it. Is that what we want? The only control we have is the choice of not controlling anymore. And things are going to happen to us we can't control. They're going, you know why? God's going to allow, listen to me, God will allow things to happen to move you out of yourself, to move you out of your little box you've created, out of your comfort zone, so he can move you into Christ. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Think about it. You want freedom? You want to experience happiness and joy in Christ? Let go. Let go. Let go of your past. Let go of people. You can't make it happen your way. It's just, and that's the second point. Life is not designed to go our way. It's just not designed to go our way. And when are we going to learn that? We can't make life go the way we want it to go. We learn to roll with it. That's what the happiness and joy in the Lord is not from making life happen. It's from rolling with what happens and letting Jesus bring victory from it. Everybody with me on this? Is this registering? You're quiet in here. I thought either I missed it totally or it's doing something. God has to remind me, and so I'm sharing this with you in Isaiah 55. He said, my thoughts, think about this. Think about it when you go home. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And boy, that just, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and nor are your ways are my ways, says the Lord. He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that just aggravates me at times. God, why don't you think like I do? Why don't you just reach up there and just wipe out that whole mess of them wherever they are, right? You ever wish that? Just take them out. Why don't you do that? And then this comes through. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, and my everything about me is higher than you. So you know what he's saying for me? This is what I hear God saying in that. Sit down, squirt. I've got it. You know, you understand about this much, and I made it all, and I understand it all. You don't have a clue what the real deal is and what I want to do about it. No, I don't. You ever ask God, would you just share a little bit with me so I can feel better and understand this? And God said, that's why I want you to live by faith. So God's ways are just too far above us to understand, so quit trying to. All we can do is let go and accept by faith. Now listen to this. Here's what you accept by faith. Ready? That God loves you. He's always here for you. He'll never abandon you, never leave you. But remember this. If you go out of here and you don't know anything, or don't remember anything else, remember this. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. He's here for me. He'll never abandon me. But he's still God. He is still God. And he allows stuff to happen because he has a greater good than I can possibly imagine. But part of all his good is to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ, to be justified and to live glorified. This happens through a solid and steady faith that God is good and wants only our good. Now listen to me. A story I've shared in the past, I'm not trying to be redundant, but many of you have not heard me share this, but I share it quickly. My sister and I, we were talking. We got to talk about my mom, my dad in the past. And she brought up, she said, "Do you remember that horrible thing we went through when Dad died? Suddenly, one weekend." And I said, Debbie's her name. "Deb, you still remember? You still thinking?" She said, "Don't you?" And I said, "You know, I think I've dealt with it, but now that you brought it up, thanks for bringing it back." But anyway, yeah, she said, 2 weeks, he dies, and 2 weeks later, the man that owned all that, that he worked for, big ranch and oil thing, and so houses were provided for all those who, and threw us out. And there we are with no home. Sick mother, no home. And she brought it back. I said, "You know," I said, "I've shared in church about this and told this story there." She said, "I just keep reliving it sometimes." And she said, just in 2 weeks, we lose everything we'd known, born and raised there. And she said, "What, how old were you? What, 22, 23? I said, "Yeah. Yeah." And she said, "You know, she's 2 years younger." I said, "There we were, and we had to find mom a place. Somebody could take care of her. She couldn't take care of herself. We have no home. Everything we'd known, it's gone." And I said, "You know, I've shared in church, Deb," and I said, "The only thing I can come up with that is you lose your dad in 1 weekend, you lose your home in the next 2 weeks. You lose everything." And I said, "The only thing that I can figure out is God knew in our hearts that we weren't going to go very far as long as we had that place, even as terrible as things were, you know, it was still, we were used to it. And probably would have tried to stay around that environment." She said, "Yeah, most likely." I said, "So God had another plan, didn't he?" I said, "Maybe I was so attached to my dad that he had to take him away so I could learn to love my real dad." She didn't handle that too good, but she said, "You know, maybe. She said, "You and Dad were close." I said, "Yeah, did everything together. So just maybe, I wouldn't have ever let him be my father if he didn't remove my dad. Maybe. Would I put my dad before God? It'd have been a hard balance. A hard draw." So I want to share something out of that with you. This lesson I've had to live through, learn it the hard way. Sometimes God allows things that hurt you deeply, that wound you to the core, so they can give you what he really wants for you, that's really great for you, but you wouldn't be able to do it and take it on your own. Sometimes it just takes pain to come to Christ and get real healing. In my own life, this third point, I had to learn to live that God's way is the only way. And though I don't understand, I get confused. And though in my life like that, I live through great, great pain. The rest of the story attached to that, I went and did the special forces, the special ops work, airborne, all that for one reason. He wanted me to. I went in and I wanted to honor that man, and he died 1 year before I completed all that. And I stood out there on the field, and they're pinning this stuff on. And I remember in my mind, in my heart, saying, Dad, I did this for you, and you're not here today. But I think you are. I think you are more than I imagined. But I want you to know something. I had another dad that I'd learned to love, who became my father and my mother and everything I needed in life, my brother, my friend. And that was Christ, Jesus Christ. So I suffered the loss at one point of all things, or almost all things, so that I might gain Christ and I might gain a real father who will not die, who will not leave me, who will never go away. God's way, friends, is the only way. And you'll walk through the valley of the shadow, but you will come out, and you'll come out strong, and you'll come out purified by the fire, and you'll come out clean and good and righteous and holy and blameless when you realize God's way is the only way, and that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. Let go. Start trusting. And whatever it is you've gone through or going through or will face tomorrow, God, His way is the only way. It's the right way. And I'm here to tell you from life's experience, God will see you through. And you may walk through the darkness, but at the end, there's the light. And standing there is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, saying, come on. Come on, my good and faithful servant. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, for the richness, the depth, the incredible greatness, the healing, the deliverance, the strength, the power. And yes, Lord, even you sent a greatest warrior of all to die on that battlefield, your son Jesus Christ, and he died all alone, and he rose again. And we follow him because he's our unconquerable leader. God's way is the only way. In Jesus' name, amen.